Hello, and welcome to Bubbly Bibbly, the podcast about books and bubbles, literature and libations, authors and alcohol.
We love books and bubbly. We are friends who offer a curated book review section on our website and a hilarious podcast. We discuss books, drinks, and stories from our lives. I'm Rachel.
And I am Carmen.
I don't mean to put you on the spot here, Carmen, but have you ever lied?
Oh, hell yes. Tons. And I'm pretty good at it. While it may not be considered a life skill, even German philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche had an opinion of lying. He said, lies are an essential condition for living. Without lies, life is neither easy nor bearable.
Well, lying is one thing I'm fairly confident that every human being has in common. So in this episode, we're talking about books we lie about reading.
I have a little guilt about a book I was reading. I had three going at once, one physical copy from my personal library, two electronic books on loan from the public library, and that was three. So first of all, why do several books on hold from the library become free to check out at or around the same freaking time?
All the time.
Oh, this happened to me on this one. It was the second in the Darker Shade of Magic series by V.E. Schwab. I read about 20% of it, but then I became engrossed in the other one, which was The Only Good Indians by Stephen Graham Jones. And before I knew it, the library automatically returned the Schwab book. Then when I went to check it back out, the reading app told me I needed to verify my library card, and it didn't work. So... I started another book, and I'm not sure.
You just started another one.
Yeah, I mean, there are always ones to start. So I started another one, and I'm not even sure if I will even finish this Schwab title. I just don't know. I even had to blog about it. So if you're interested, go to my personal blog and read how I dealt with it.
Well, I'm starting The Duke and I by Julia Quinn, which is the first in the Bridgerton collection. It's also the series that's streaming on Netflix now, Bridgerton. And I'm excited to start this new read. This is part of my book club, and one of the ladies picked it. So I'll probably end up reading all three of them. But I'm excited to start this one.
I've never heard about that. Can you tell me about the premise?
Well, it's about the high society in London, and they're starting their debutante season, and they're all looking for their husbands. So that's how it starts.
So is it like a modern day telling of Downton Abbey?
No, it's actually set like back in the day, because there's no electricity, no anything. And there's dukes and princesses and princes and earls and...
Oh, wow. So it's a series and then of books. Now,
yes. So the books came out first in the series. Shondaland is producing it. So in the series on Netflix, there are quite a few African-American, black actors who are playing important figures in history. So right now the queen is black, and one of the other players, the duke, is black, and his whole lineage is African-American. Well, I guess they're not American because it's in England.
But so they're English Africans, African English.
Yeah.
Well,
what is the preferred term for that?
I don't even know. And did you say, who is it? Shonda Rhimes that's producing this?
Shondaland.
Okay.
It's a black producing house, and she's a director and everything. It's really well done.
Oh, I'm going to have to check that out. I'd never heard of the series by Julia Quinn, and I will. Now, do you recommend that I read before I watch?
No, because the actors are, and especially the men actors, are absolutely delicious on this show. And there's no reason why you should make yourself suffer without seeing that.
Thank you. Okay, so in honor of finishing The Master and Margarita by Mikhail Bulgakov, I know, oh my gosh, that was, you know, I don't know why it took me so long to read that, but I am drinking a glass of Prosecco because that is the closest to champagne I can get right now.
Well, I'm drinking a cocktail called L.I.E., which is, get this, it says a little bit of everything in there. It has vanilla vodka, rum, tequila, gin, triple sec, Coke, and a splash of orange juice. To make it healthy again, right?
Didn't you just have an Irish trash can that had like 17 liquors in it?
Yeah, it's just a small drink. It's only like an ounce here and an ounce there. I mean, okay. Come on, Carm. It's not that bad.
Readers, we need to party more with Rachel. We have all been told a lie, and we have all lied. There is an entire culture around lying. Songs, movies, television series, poems, and books. There are even games where lying, both doing it and discovering it, is the central theme. Scientific American called lying among the most sophisticated accomplishments of the human mind. Sounds to me like we're giving lying a very bad rap.
It's true that artistic sorts love the construction and development of a lie, and many scientists think that it's harmful. It reminds me of that Geico ad with Mary Todd Lincoln asking Honest Abe if her dress makes her backside look big. He's obviously uncomfortable, and then he tells her, well, maybe a little. And she storms out. Should he have just told her that she looked just fine? Or do we think that his candor caused her to exercise more and eat less, opting for a healthier lifestyle change? I don't think so. Lie to me every time, please.
Yeah, thank you. First of all, I would never ask that question. My grandmother used to say, if you're not ready for the answer, don't ask the question. And exactly. Second of all, to all of the men out there, husbands or not, if anyone ever asks you, does this make my backside look big? Always say no. Don't hesitate. Don't think about it. Don't consider it. Always say no. But, you know, honestly, Rachel, don't you think if a woman asks if something makes her butt look big, it's because deep down she knows it does? That has always been my theory.
Again, I say, just lie to me, please.
There are a lot of reasons behind why people lie. And don't lie about lying because we know better. Over 95% of people can't go a week without lying about
something.
95%. That's scientific, baby. First, there is almost always something in it for them, whether it's telling the boss that you're almost finished with a report that you know you haven't even started, or telling your wife that her butt doesn't look big in those pants. And then, I hate to say this, there are the mean person reasons for lying, like to manipulate, be vindictive, or feel superior. Like giving the wrong directions to a driver for amusement.
Right. I've always been interested in the difference between a little white lie and any other kind of lie. I thought that a little white lie won't really have any consequences, and basically it's harmless to anyone. And sometimes I think about lying about reading a book would probably just fall into that category. There are a lot of lists online containing books that people lie about reading. Even Reader's Digest has a list. And also Elle, by the way, has a list, which was a little funny to me because they put out those abridged books. So if you lie about reading an abridged book, that's like a double lie, isn't it? I mean, really?
That is so true. I am sure I have lied at one time or another about reading a book, but it's been so long since I cared what anyone thought about my reading prowess that I honestly can't remember which books are on that lie list.
Okay, but if you had to guess, though.
I would say probably anything by Jane Austen, the Bronte sisters, Charles Dickens. All of those I have never read and I do not plan to read. And I would have lied about reading them because I didn't want to seem that I don't read the highbrow classics. What about you?
Well, for me, you have to go back to 11th grade, probably in college too. But I had to do a stupid book report on the Canterbury Tales by Geoffrey Chaucer. I don't know if you're like 16-year-old girl who got a car and was driving around having fun. I just couldn't get into the book with all the different stories. So in steps Cliff Notes and its study guide, and that book report took care of itself.
Thank you, Cliff Notes, for getting us through school. It's interesting that there are so many compilations of reading lie lists. Doesn't that kind of seem like an odd metric to track?
It really does, but I think people just struggle sometimes to finish a book or novel, and I don't think it's anyone's fault that we turn to Cliff Notes or Spark Notes. Mm-hmm. It just so happens that a lot of these literary titles that are on this pedestal of great living, you know, great literature, it's just as complicated AF. And you can read that any way you want.
I read it as fuck. Complicated
yes.
as fuck.
It is.
The bottom line is that lying about a book, whether it's part of a conversation you're having with other readers or completing a quiz online of the top 100 books you should read before you die, the only one you're hurting is yourself.
Right, you are. Because when you're talking about what makes a classic, we proved in our very unscientific and subjective way that there are some books that just don't stand the test of time. So let's refresh our drinks, come back, and look at whether you should actually read these books that you lie about. Because there's so many of these books that we lie about on list, let's cover only the ones that show up on the majority of these lists, which first one is 1984, published in 1948 by George Orwell. It shows a version of a dystopian future.
Yes, and that does show up on all of the lists that we lie about. So he wrote this 36 years into the future, but now we're looking at it as 37 years in the past. So many critics would say that Orwell was writing as much about his time as he was in the future, using the transposed year of publication as evidence, you know, 1984, and it was published in 1948. So it's really interesting.
The themes are psychological control of the masses, limited information, dissemination, and the use of technology for control. People need to read this book. It is as relevant today as it was back then. And it still offers a lot of warnings that we should, you know, take very serious.
Absolutely, yes. The second book is on a totally different track, The Great Gatsby by F. Scott Fitzgerald. Social class, the American dream, love and marriage, they're the top themes for this one. And it is very Anglo-centric, which means that it's very white. I would suggest instead reading Passing by Nella Larson, not only will you get a fuller picture of the 20s in America, but you'll also experience deeper and a lot more diverse themes like race, class relations, deception, privilege, security, sexuality. And at less than 150 pages, I really think this book is a should read.
Oh, that's going to, I'm putting that on my TBR list. That sounds really interesting.
Yes, just mark out The Great Gatsby and put on Passing.
So this next one brings a tear to my eye.
I was so sad when I saw this.
Harry Potter is on these lists. People lie about it. What the in the world, people? Why are you lying about reading this? It is the ultimate entertaining story of good and evil friendship. Ah, it's just awesome. These books are beautifully written. The characters are engaging as they mature and develop through the series, and they just form a wonderful friendship. And what friendships, you know, how they grow. It's single-handedly got an entire generation of children hooked on reading. Carmen, you're reading the series, right?
Rachel, I stopped halfway through the fourth book.
What? No! Do I even know you?
That's right. You know the person who stopped halfway through the fourth book.
I don't even know.
You know, okay. I was watching an interview with Margot Robbie, the actress, and she is a huge Harry Potter nerd. And she found out someone had stopped reading Harry Potter, had not finished. And she actually said on the interview couch, I am not going to be able to sleep tonight because I'm going to be so worried that you're not going to finish the series.
I know you need to finish it because it's so good. Well, you end up with a big, warm, lovey-dovey feeling at the end for these characters. You got to see it through.
Okay. Now, the last book we have time for, many of you lie about reading, is Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen. Love, reputation, gender expectation, wealth, and family are all themes here. I always get stuck on the formality of the writing, but, you know, of course it was written in the 1800s. I have read over and over that the writing is beautiful, and if I would just continue to read it, I'm sure I would be captured by the story and the characters, but there are so many other books that grab me right away, and no one's going to test me on these themes. So I never pick it up.
No, I'm going to talk you out of this. First off, you read The Year of Wonder. And if you could read through that, that was very formal writing. She tried to write in the period of that style. So I know you can get past that. And it is a great story, Carmen. You would really fall in love with Elizabeth. She is right up there with you. She is very intelligent. She's very quick-witted and well-read. And she even has a tongue that might be a little too sharp for her own good at times.
And the sound of our cheering fans means it's time for listener comments.
On our Instagram page, spotlighting Carmen's review of A Separate Piece by John Knowles, a book lover's musings commented, I read that for Banned Book Week last year. Good book. Thanks for commenting on our site and on all our Instagram and Facebook and Pinterest. We love it. So you guys just keep it up.
And thank you, A Book Lover's Musings, because that is really one of my favorite classics. It was a lot more in depth than I anticipated it being. So I really appreciate you taking the time to comment on my post.
Let us know which books you have fibbed about reading and check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest.
And visit www.bubblybibbly.com, where there is a plethora of clicks, reads, and recipes that are guaranteed to turn that frown upside down.
And remember, Mark Twain said, if you tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything.